Thank you very much, Lynn, and also thank you very much, Chris. And I really enjoyed that sweet ending with the chimes. That was very nice. Also, Chris, I wanted to tell you that next Sunday, Awakening Together will be still in Pal Talk, but we'll be in a different section. Instead of being under religion and spirituality as we are now, we will be under education, other. So when you show up next Sunday, show up there. Education, other, and then Awakening Together, Sanctuary Home. All right, so here we are for the seven steps to awakening, as Lynn said. And I'm really happy to share with you from the seven steps to awakening tonight. And then the last 10 minutes tonight are going to be reserved. I'm going to turn the mic over to Cheryl and Barrett so that they can talk a little bit about the Costa Rica retreat. We tried to do that last week, but it didn't work out. So they've come back this week, and we'll let them have the last little bit of this hour to talk about that. I'm going to be the speaker at the Costa Rica retreat, or one of the speakers. There will be a few others. So that's why we're taking a part of this hour to share about it. First, what I would like to do is I would like to play a song. This is a fun song. It's called Let the Mystery Be by Iris Dement. And this song was shared with me from our friend Rayla. And I love this song because, you know, one of the weaknesses that many of us as spiritual students have is we believe things, you know, like some of us may have different beliefs about Jesus's life, you know. Some people may believe he was married to Mary Magdalene, some people may not, etc. And we have different beliefs maybe about what happens when the body dies. Some people believe in an individual soul that continues. Some people believe you're absorbed by the light. There might even be one or two people who believe in going to heaven. There are others who believe in reincarnation. And it's interesting because if we were to really get together and share honestly on all of these beliefs, we would find there's a whole host of beliefs here, a whole host of individual beliefs that we might have that we aren't perfectly aligned on. And so I really love the way this song deals with those beliefs. So the name of this song again is Let the Mystery Be, and the artist is Iris Dement.
Yeah.
comes from an album called Infamous Angel. So tonight, when we look at the seven steps to awakening, we are going to begin with number 730. And what I am doing is sharing a link to my journal entry for 730. And the quote that I contemplated, quote number 730, is a bit long. Whenever the quotes are long like this, I recommend, you know, it's up to you whether you want to follow the recommendation, but I recommend that you close your eyes and listen without distraction, because sometimes the mind can start to wander before the end of a long quote. So if you want to close your eyes and listen to this longer quote, this is quote number 730. The notion I am the body is bondage. The seeker should avoid it. I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. It is only when one does not realize the true self, which is free from old age, death, etc., that one wails aloud, "Alas, I am dead," or "I am helpless." It is by such thoughts that ignorance is fortified. Free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Rest in the true self, free from such notions. So that's the end of the quote. And since it is such a long quote, I'll just read the quote one more time and then we'll begin looking at it. The notion I am the body is bondage. The seeker should avoid it. I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. It is only when one does not realize the true self, which is free from old age, death, etc., that one wails aloud, "Alas, I am dead," or "I am helpless." It is by such thoughts that ignorance is fortified. Free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Rest in the true self, free from such notions. So I think that one thing I just want to say before I go and look at the journal, one part of this quote that's really jumping out to me tonight is the part that says, "I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation." Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. And, you know, often the word understanding is linked with the mind's intelligence. But I feel the true understanding is different than the intellectual mind. True understanding is living something. This morning when we were listening to Jacqueline asked a question. It was an inquiry. She was talking about, is our motive or our purpose, is our body, what we do, what we say, how we live our life, is that aligned with our motive or our purpose? Or we could call it our spiritual aspiration. And she talked a little bit about learning lessons on the spiritual path, but then forgetting them. And she talked about how she had noticed recently that she was attached to outcomes again and was trying to manipulate situations in order to get to a certain outcome. And she says, "I learned that years ago, but I've forgotten." And Sonia typed in spiritual amnesia. You know, it's a wonderful little conversation. But the point that was really coming out of that conversation this morning was when we've really learned something, really, really learned something, we don't forget it, we live it. And so the question that Jacqueline was asking was, do I live my spiritual aspiration, and do I live the lessons I've learned on the spiritual path? Well, to me, that's what true understanding is. True understanding would be the equivalent of the word insight. Insight would be something that has moved us to the point that we now live differently. We change the way that we think, the way that we behave, the way that we be. So when this says, I am no thing but pure consciousness, and then it says, such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. That would mean that we are living, I am no thing but pure consciousness. We are living that. And I don't know about you all. I guess I think I know, but I don't know for sure. I don't know about you all, but it seems that there's a shift that occurs for people where they shift into this absolute knowing of themselves as consciousness or awareness, and it's at least somewhat naturally sustained. And it seems like for me that shift has not occurred. It seems like for me that there is true knowledge that I am awareness. And that knowledge comes because I can see it when I look, whether I'm looking during meditation or whether I'm looking during a pause, you know, during the day. I can see for myself from my direct experience that I am not the body, that I am not the mind, that I am not the personality, that I am not the mini me in the head, the I thought it's often called. I can see that I'm none of these things, and the reason I can see that I'm none of these things is because when I pause or when I'm in meditation and I look, I can see those things. There's something here that is more me than the personality, more me than the thoughts, more me than the body, more me than even those sensations in the head that appear to be a little mini me in the head. And so I have knowledge of this because I can see it for myself. It's not a belief. But Helena is saying me too. And just before, you know, so she's saying that she knows this too. But then she also said, right before that, she said, the sustained, that is my struggle, she says. And I want to say, yeah, that's it. If somehow the shift hasn't occurred, where it seems to be naturally sustained, it does seem to be a struggle or an effort or a practice, you know, whatever word you put on it, to continually go back and see again. Keep seeing, keep tasting, keep glimpsing, keep looking and noticing that knowledge is true. And in this particular quote, it says that sustaining this understanding is conducive to liberation. I'm going to shift over to A Course in Miracles for a moment, and then I'm going to shift back to this. But in A Course in Miracles talks about what I'm going to call two different levels of awakening. The first level of awakening is awakening to the real world. This is somehow awakening from ego perception, because when you perceive through the ego, you do not see the real world. You see the ego's world. So this is an awakening from ego perception into a more pure perception, The Course isn't real clear on exactly what type of perception it is, but it's a more pure perception. And you see, you perceive what the Course calls the real world. But the Course also says that the real world is still a dream. And the Course talks about a second awakening. And in the second awakening, it says that God takes the last step. And the second awakening is the awakening to what the Course calls heaven. And heaven is completely beyond perception. Completely beyond perception. All right, now that I said that, let me come back to what this says. This talks about, I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. I think that liberation, in this sentence, is the equivalent of heaven in A Course in Miracles. Liberation, in this sentence, is the equivalent of heaven in A Course in Miracles, which means it is awakening beyond perception. And this sentence says again that when the understanding that I am no thing but pure consciousness is sustained, that state of this sustained living from, this sustained understanding, this sustained realizing that I am consciousness or I am awareness, that is conducive to liberation. So what it sounds like is that level of awakening, when a shift has occurred, where you are living from a sustained recognition, not a practice, not a having to look again and look again, but a sustained, a natural sustained recognition that I am consciousness, that sounds like the equivalent of what the Course would call the real world. That's the pure seeing that perceives true perception instead of false perception. And that shift is conducive to liberation or the final shift beyond perception. Most of us, if not all of us, have not yet experienced that first shift where there's this natural, sustained knowledge and experience that is never forgotten, never lost, that I am consciousness or I am awareness, that purity that leads to true perception. And so most of us, well, maybe here I should divide us into two groups. I'll say some of us experience what Helena has said that she experiences and what I experience, which means the knowledge that I am awareness is here, but I'm still practicing continuing to look. Just as the shift of sustained awareness that I am awareness is conducive to liberation, awakening beyond perception, I really feel in my heart that continually looking and seeing that knowledge directly over and over again is conducive to the awakening to the shift of naturally sustained awareness. So that means that if you are in the same boat as Helena and me, that means that the best practice is the practice of, you know, the type of meditation we talk about here, awareness, watching awareness meditation. And in addition to that, I really feel, in addition to that, during the day, taking little breaks to look and notice again. It doesn't take long to look and notice again. It's true, I am awareness. And what seems to happen if this shift hasn't occurred to move us to a natural, sustained awareness that we are awareness, it seems like what happens is we go in and out, in and out. And some of you may remember when Ellie Ruzdar was here in April, she talked about this state of going in and out, in and out. And she said, that's not awakening. And I agree. In-N-Out, In-N-Out is not awakening. It's not the first awakening, and it's certainly not the second awakening. It's not the awakening to the real world, and it's not the awakening to heaven, if we use the Course's language. But it is practice. It is the practice that is conducive to awakening, to sustained realization of myself as awareness. One thing that it seems like nearly all of the teachers teach is accepting things as they are. To me, that includes our current spiritual state, our current spiritual progress, our current level of spiritual realization, however you want to word that. It doesn't at all seem helpful to me to beat myself up for not having had a shift where I am in sustained awareness of myself as awareness. Instead, what seems really genuine and helpful for me is to be grateful for the knowledge that I do have. And again, the knowledge, when I use the word knowledge, I mean because of direct experience, not belief. It feels helpful to be grateful for the knowledge that I do have, to be grateful for the glimpses that I have, to be grateful for the seeing that I have, especially in meditation. It looks to me like you guys agree. And what about, there might even be people here who are genuinely not aware of ever even having a glimpse. And the reason I say that is because I remember when I was there. I remember when I was genuinely not even aware of ever even having a glimpse. Like the whole thing sounded ahead of me. Even having glimpses sounded ahead of me. And so what do you do? Well, I think what's most important at that stage is looking for the obstacles. But the Course would call the obstacles to love's presence, but it's the obstacles to being able to see that you are awareness. And those obstacles live in the mind. Those obstacles live in the mind. So, you know, those obstacles are the thoughts that you really, really, really believe. And I think maybe, even though it's not just the thoughts that cause you pain that are obstacles, I think looking at the thoughts that cause you pain, looking at the thoughts that, you know, cause your body to constrict, looking at the thoughts that, you know, cause you to get upset, annoyed, angry, feel guilty, feel unworthy, looking at those thoughts and beginning to question those thoughts, I think that's a really important step. And as we begin to see through those thoughts, which we do, at some point we get to where we see what is seeing through those thoughts. That begins to happen. It's like clearing away the fog when you are seeing through the thoughts. And as you clear away more and more of the fog, eventually it just starts to happen naturally. It's like a little mini shift where you begin to see what's seeing through the thoughts, and that is glimpsing. And yes, Karen says, yes, seeing what is seen through the thoughts. Yes, that's what we're really looking for. It's right here all the time. But we all know, every one of us, I think, probably can remember when we could not see that. And when people talked about that, we could not even understand what they were talking about. You know, so there is this earlier phase that's very, very important. And one thing about awakening together that I love is that awakening together allows everyone to be right where they're at. And the reason I love that is because that's important. You know, if you are at the stage where you've never even had that glimpse of the true self, yourself as awareness, to pretend that, to say that, you know, I know I'm awareness or all that at the pure intellectual level, that it's not that helpful. What is helpful, however, is to begin looking at those obstacles, to be looking at those things that upset me, to begin learning things like root cause inquiry, which is the type of inquiry I teach that helps you really look at what you're believing. And then to start practicing steps like the steps that I teach that help you to undo the believing. Because as you undo the believing, you're clearing away the fog. And again, eventually, then one day you see it happens. And then you're at a new stage. Now, you may still be needing to clear away some thoughts. These stages can most definitely overlap. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to stop doing that now and start doing this. The stages overlap. But you are at a new stage now where you're also going to begin practicing glimpsing more and more. Practicing going into meditation and practicing awareness, watching awareness. Once you begin to see what that is, you're ready to start taking those next steps too. To me, if the shift has not yet occurred where seeing ourself as awareness is naturally sustained, if that has not yet occurred, we really benefit ourselves well by doing two primary practices. Letting go of the false and embracing the true. Both. So letting go of the false is continuing with the practice of looking at what we're believing that isn't true. And we can't leave that practice behind as it was just the first stage. And, you know, at some point, you do get to a point where life is genuinely mostly peaceful, mostly joyous. Things that used to push your buttons don't push your buttons. It gets very easy. But if there's anything in you that still needs to be healed, something will come together to push it up. And so when it pushes up, you know, maybe it's been 6 months, 9 months since you felt anything other than peace and joy. I have those experiences, right? But then the right situations come together where there's something else. There's stress, or there's fear, or there's something else. And when that something else shows up, be grateful. Be grateful. Always be grateful. Because this is another opportunity for more letting go of the false. And go back to those exact same practices that you used to let go of the false before. It's, you know, the practices don't change. You know, go back to looking to see exactly what is causing this upset. Go back to noticing how you have been believing it. Go back to undoing the believing. Every time you see yourself believing it again, you say, oh, I see myself believing it. I'm letting go of this now, or whatever was helpful for you. Go back to rest, accept, and trust. But also, if you're at the stage where you do have the knowledge that you're awareness because you can see it, you can glimpse it, do that as much as possible. That's the embracing the true. Spend time every day in awareness, watching awareness meditation. See that as one of the most important things you do, maybe even the most important thing you do in this lifetime. see that as embracing the truth. Realize that this is the practice that is conducive to the shift which will take you into sustained awareness that you are awareness. So let go of the false and embrace the true. Both. All right, let me read this quote again and then we'll go and look at my journal. See what I wrote when I contemplated this same quote back in June of 2013. Here's the quote again. The notion I am the body is bondage. The seeker should avoid it. I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. It is only when one does not realize the true self, which is free from old age, death, etc., that one wails aloud, "Alas, I am dead," or "I am helpless." It is by such thoughts that ignorance is fortified. Free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Rest in the true self, free from such notions. I'd like to point out, before I go to the journal, that these last two sentences in this quote are talking about the same thing that I just talked about when I said I recommend two practices, let go of the false and embrace the true. The first sentence is let go of the false. It says free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Right? That's letting go of the false. Free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. The second sentence at the end is embracing the true. It says, rest in the true self, free from such notions. That's the awareness watching awareness meditation. That's the embracing the true. So even right here in this quote, and by the way, this is from the Yoga Vasistha, which is hundreds of years old. I don't know how old. Somebody could probably look it up if you want to. It's hundreds of years old. And the recommendations that are being made here are the exact same recommendations that came to Regina Dawn Akers in her contemplation. Do you know why those same two recommendations were in the Yoga Vasistha hundreds of years ago and those same recommendations came to Regina Dawn Akers in her own contemplation? And by the way, these recommendations came to me many years before I even heard of the Yoga Vasistha. They came when I was contemplating A Course in Miracles and NTI. It's because these are the two recommendations that work. And probably everybody at some point gets to the point where they realize these are the two things I have to do. I have to let go of the false and embrace the true. I have to let go of my false believing in some way through practicing some type of inquiry. And I have to focus on watching awareness. And you know, you can read book after book after book, and you will keep finding these two things popping up, worded in different ways. But you'll keep finding them popping up. And I personally love it when it gets this simple, because since there is book after book after book and teacher after teacher after teacher out there, it can look like a ton of things you have to know. And it could boggle the mind. It could also entertain the intellect for a very long time. But if you realize there's only two things you need to know and that you need to live those, that's, remember what understanding is. You want to understand these two things. Therefore, you will live them. The only two things you need to know and understand are to let go of the false and embrace the true. And embracing the true, again, means watching awareness. Noticing over and over and over again that what you are is awareness, actually seeing it for yourself repeatedly. If you know those are the only two things that you have to do, this becomes somewhat simple. At the same time, it's never simple. There are always those days when it doesn't feel simple. But at least you're not confused about the two things that you are to do. So again, let go of the false, embrace the true, or as the Yoga Vasistha says, free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Rest in the true self, free from such notions. All right, let's go and look at my journal. So number 730A says, does one need to know the self to rest in the self? No. One merely needs to let go of self-thought and self-concern, and one rests as he is. So interesting. You're drinking water for me. I just had a drink too. So interesting is that, what's interesting is that in June of 2013, when I contemplated this, my mind also went to, what about the ones who have not yet had the glimpses? What about the ones that when we see things like, someday you will get to the point where you are seeing what is seen through the thoughts, and Karen says, yes. Well, what about the person that says, huh? Huh? What does that mean? Someday you'll get to where you are seeing what is seen through the thoughts. And again, we've all been there, so we all know what that huh feels like. And we all know that's a very genuine place on this spiritual path. So what about those people that say, huh? Well, again, what you do at that phase is you let go of self-thought and self-concern. You don't have to know yet what we mean by statements like that. You don't have to know yet. You just have to know what to let go of. You have to know what the obstacles are to seeing that for yourself. And you focus on the obstacle letting go. So prior to first glimpse, prior to first experience of seeing, you're fully focused on letting go of obstacles. And again, what are the obstacles? All thinking about me. That makes it simple again. We don't have to go through a long list. I don't have to get out a flip chart and say, okay, you guys, what are the obstacles? And then we start listing, oh, you know, guilt, unworthiness, the belief in rejection, the, you know, fear, the I am not safe belief. You know, we could make a list of obstacles because it seems like we experience a lot of them, but we don't have to because this journal entry is making it simpler than that. This journal entry is saying when you catch yourself thinking about who you think you are, so in my case, if I catch myself thinking about Regina, that me, thinking about what you guys think about Regina, thinking about how Regina wants things to work out, thinking about Regina's body and how, you know, it should look different or it should feel different, thinking about Regina's life, Regina's child, Regina's, you know, all this Regina thinking, that's what's to be let go of. And the teachings of Inner Ramana gave us a mantra that we could use to help us let go of that thinking about me. And that mantra was, I am that I am. And do you know that's how I got my first glimpse? This is a true story. Because remember I told you, at one time I was the one who had no idea what people were talking about when they would say, you know, you are awareness, or you are what you are. What you're looking for is where you're looking from. Like, huh? You know, and it just, huh? Like, that makes no sense. I have no idea what you're talking about. But the teachings of Inner Ramana asked me to practice I am that I am. It said every time the mantra, the reminder to do the mantra came into the mind to do the mantra. Every time the reminder to do the mantra came into the mind to do the mantra. And what started happening is when I was lost in mind wandering, which is me thinking about me, that's what mind wandering always is. When I was lost in mind wandering, the thought to do the mantra would appear and I would practice the mantra, I am that I am. And then just try and hang in that stillness as long as possible. And then, of course, the mind would start doing its thing again. And then eventually that reminder to do the mantra would come again. And I would do the mantra again. And I did this for a period of about 2 months. A period of about 2 months. And then one day, and I was standing in the backyard in my house in North Carolina. And just spontaneously, one day I got a glimpse. It lasted like a second, but I got a glimpse of myself as awareness. I saw that. And that was the first glimpse. And it may have been weeks before the second glimpse came. And it was years before I could sit down and move myself into glimpsing purposefully, where it doesn't seem like an accident. But using the mantra, I am that I am, to let go of the thinking about myself is what led to the glimpses beginning to happen. So again, this journal entry says, does one need to know the self to rest in the self? Do you have to have had that first glimpse in order to practice this? And the answer says no. One merely needs to let go of self-thought and self-concern, and one rests as he or she is. And again, I strongly recommend something like the I Am That I Am practice. And for those of you who don't know it, it's really very, very simple. Just every time you remember to do the mantra, and again, it can often show up as a memory when you are lost in thought. You'll be lost in thought, thinking about whatever you're thinking about, and then this thought just shows up, do the mantra. It like comes right into your daydreaming. And then you pause right then. I like to close my eyes if I wasn't in a situation where I couldn't, like driving. I like to take a deep breath or two before I even say the mantra to kind of still myself. I like to remember what I truly want, so that I kind of shift into my heart, meaning remember that spiritual aspiration. And then I like to say, I am that I am. And then just hang in the silence. So when I really do this the way I want to, the process takes around 10 seconds. You know, it's not a I am that I am and go right back into the daydreaming, right? It takes about 10 seconds. But in those 10 seconds, something, the fog is getting cleared away. And then eventually the glimpse comes. So does one need to know the self to rest in the self? No. One merely needs to let go of self-thought and self-concern, and one rests as he is. I'm going to move to 730B. This is the second journal entry based on this particular quote. Let me just read the quote one more time. The notion, I am the body, is bondage. The seeker should avoid it. I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. It is only when one does not realize the true self, which is free from old age, death, etc., that one wails aloud, alas, I am dead, or I am helpless. It is by such thoughts that ignorance is fortified. Free your mind from such impure thoughts and notions. Rest in the true self, free from such notions. All right, so the second journal entry based on that quote, number 730B. What has been taught by inner realization has been given now because it is most helpful now. It is grace. Hold to it with mind and heart because it is given and because it is grace. So this is again talking to the current step that we are on, whatever that current step is. Whatever step we're on, whether we're someone who has no idea what it means, you know, that you are the one that you seek, you know, we're not sure what the heck that means, or those of us who are having glimpses at times, sometimes the glimpses even seem to hang, you know, they're there for a time and it's very clear, I am awareness, but then somehow it gets lost and I'm back into thinking I'm the person again, right? No matter which stage we're at, in fact, I would say even if you're in the next stage, which is that stage of the shift has occurred and there is this sustained awareness that you're awareness, but the final liberation has not occurred. You have not awakened from perception. There's still perception. Whichever of these stages that you're in, it's wonderful to spend time each day in meditation and contemplation, no matter which stage you're in. And if you spend time in contemplation each day, at some point, something will come. It may come from within you, you know, like my journal entries come from within me. Or it may be something that you read that really jumps out at you. Like I told you all that this one sentence jumped out at me. I am no thing but pure consciousness. Such understanding, when it is sustained, is conducive to liberation. Whether it seems to be something on the outside that jumps out at you as meaningful for today, or whether it seems to be something that comes from the inside that you write down because it's meaningful for today, that is your daily bread. Remember Jesus spoke about the daily bread in the Lord's Prayer? That is your daily bread. Take that daily bread and hold to it with the mind and the heart. Because this is what is best for you to contemplate, concentrate on, be with today. If every day you sit down until you get your daily bread, and then you don't forget about your daily bread, but you return to it multiple times a day, maybe carry it on a little piece of paper so that, you know, when you're taking bathroom breaks or whatever, you can look at it again and just really hold to it and try practicing it and try living it all day long. That is exactly what you needed to do today. That's why it was given as your daily bread this morning. So when you are living your daily bread each day, receiving and living your daily bread each day, you are progressing on the spiritual path. That is the most helpful thing we can do. Each day is different. You know, it's not that we learned something 6 months ago and we're still trying to practice what we learned 6 months ago. Each day we're given exactly what we need today as our main focus. So apparently when I read this quote in June, I had the same feeling that I had today, which is I don't have that sustained awareness that I'm awareness. And so the question that was in my heart, which came out through the contemplation, is, so what do I do? What can I do that is most helpful to that shift, which is that sustained awareness of myself as awareness? And the answer was, go in there every day and get your daily bread and live your daily bread. Just keep doing that. Because you're being guided day by day by day to the readiness for that shift. So again, this last quote, 730B, or this last journal entry. What has been taught by inner realization has been given now because it is most helpful now. It is grace. Hold to it with the mind and heart because it is given and because it is grace. So really three things we can do then. Number one, let go of the false. Number two, embrace the true. Awareness, watching awareness. And number three, go get that daily bread every day and then embrace that daily bread all day long. All right, so it is now 10 till the top of the hour, and I promised that I would stop today at 10 till the top of the hour so that I could turn the mic over to Cheryl and Barrett. So I don't know which one will take the mic first, but what I'm going to do is let go of the mic.